being conformed to the image of God's Son. It's a lifelong project, isn't it? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 as we think about this idea of expressing the life of Christ, this change, this becoming. We've learned from Romans 8:28 through 8:29 that it's God's will for our lives that we be conformed to the image of His Son. And we've also seen to that it, due to our fleshly nature, the only way it is possible to become Christ-like is through the working of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so we're going to take a look today how God works, what we have to do. We have some responsibility in this discipleship, as it were. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17 and going to verse 32. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Quite a responsibility here. Quite a few commands that God gives us in this conforming to the image of His Son. Let's go to the Lord and speak to Him. Heavenly Father, we, God, are thankful that You've given us a Savior. You've given us one who, Lord, we can follow. You've given us, Lord, all we need in this life for godliness. And I pray as we continue to think about being conformed to Your image, that You'd help, God, help us to realize, Lord, it is our responsibility to put off the old man and put on the new man and to live godly in Christ Jesus before a watching world. We ask Your blessing, Lord, as we consider these truths, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme verse, Ephesians 4:24. That she put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off the old, put on the new. It's a picture of a garment. Taking off an old garment, putting on a new one. Each of you do that when you go to the store, don't you, to buy? You don't put on the old garment. You go to the changing room, and you have four or five with you to change, right? So it is with Christ. We need to put on the new man. How to do that is the key. Of course, this verse tells us, it indicates that the change in our lives is to be evident to a lost world around us. They ought to be able to see the new garment that you have. They ought to be able to see the Christ that's within. Back in 1981, a British historical drama film told of a fact-based story of the 1924 Olympics. And the main character of the film was Eric Liddell. He was a devout Scottish Christian who ran for the glory of God. And he was good. But he had testimony, and he had felt that God wanted him to run for him, and so he would not run on Sundays. And it just so happened that the different heats that the finals for the 100-yard meter was going to be on Sunday, and so he gave up first place. That was his best dash. He gave that up for God. He went on to win in some of the other dashes, but he ran for the glory of God. And what a testimony to a watching world. Later he died. His parents were missionaries to China. They sent him back to England, I think, or Scotland for his education. And then after he got done running in the 1924 Olympics, he went back to China as a missionary, and he died. He was killed by the Japanese in World War II. And so he lived out this scripture, take off the old, put on the new. Sometimes it costs us, doesn't it? To take off the old, put on the new. What are you willing to give up? Kevin was singing about that. Sometimes we have to sacrifice things in our lives that we might express the life of Christ, to become more like Jesus. What a difference Christ made in Eric Liddell's life. And he wanted to express the life of, because of this conviction of running on Sundays, he showed what the life of Christ meant to him. And so I'm thinking this morning, what evidences, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, and you went to the courtroom, what evidence would there be to convict you of being a Christian? What could people point to and say, there, that's Christ right there? Would you have any? I hope so. So we're going to look, how do we walk? How do we show evidence of a new life in Christ. How is our walk? I think the first thing, of course, is this idea that we must walk a different walk. Okay? You're going to put off the old and put on the new. You have to walk a different walk. You can't be walking like the world. And so many times we try to ride the fence. I don't know about you, but riding a fence is very tricky. And usually you get caught half and half, don't you? So Paul says, verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." God intends for the behavior of the believer to be radically different, radically different from the world. We should not fit in. We ought to be different. And the world will not like us. We heard that today in Sunday school. But that's okay. They didn't like Jesus, did they? No, they put him to death on the cross. And so if they've crucified the Master, what will they do with the disciples? Yes, what are we to do? Well, notice the Paul's description of the unsaved world here. The world that we've been put into, to walk in, as it were. Number one, it's a darkened condition. Empty philosophies. It says, don't walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. Vanity is the uselessness. When you're vain, it's useless. How many times do we have useless philosophies? We have useless thoughts that really do not glorify God, glorify ourselves. Empty philosophies. Colossians 2:8, Paul says, "Beware lest anyone spoil you or cheat you or capture you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." I think Satan is the master deceiver. And he is trying to deceive us into following the world. It's an empty deceit. He's trying to capture your mind, to spoil you. So we need to be careful, because Christ, it says, "In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him." We need nothing else. We have Christ. Why do we run after things in the world? And when we have everything that we need in Christ. Well, that's the vanity of our mind. It's a darkened condition. It's vain. There's darkened understanding. Whose minds, it says in 2 Corinthians, last week we talked about this, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Satan has blinded the minds of people. And they don't believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. And so we give out the gospel. I'm a minister of the gospel. Do you know what that means? I preach Christ and him crucified. And so that's that really releases people when they understand who Christ is and they understand what He came to earth to do. When you realize that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you can be saved from your sins and you can go and be with God in heaven someday, then your whole attitude, your whole life changes. Yes, your understanding goes from being darkened to being enlightened by Christ, the gospel of Christ, the light of the gospel. Notice, Satan brings darkness, God brings light. We are called children of light. When you accept Christ as Savior, you are a child of light. You've probably talked to people about what's going to happen when they die. That's quite a thing to talk about, really. Some will tell you that they believe they're going to come back as an animal or some other state. Then there are some that say that they don't believe really sin. They believe that man is intrinsically good and doesn't need a Savior. Others believe that man is a god. What's the problem with all these? Well, man is a sinner. And these philosophies all originate from man. And they're man-centered. They're not God-centered. What does God's Word say? That's what we need to. We need to get into God's Word and follow what He has to tell us about what's going to happen when we die. What's going to happen according to the Word of God when you die? Well, you're going to one of two places, aren't you? Heaven or hell? Depending on whether you've trusted Christ as Savior or you've trusted yourself. Pretty simple. And yet man is darkened. He's blinded. And so he won't accept the truth from God's Word. There's blindness of the heart. Notice it says there, verse 18, having the understanding dark, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated. That means separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Usually we think of blindness of the eyes, don't we? Do you know you can be blind in your heart? Spiritually speaking, you can be spiritually blind and cannot see truth, cannot understand what God and His Word has to tell you, say to you. You know, it doesn't make any difference how wise you are, how smart you are. Einstein was a genius, wasn't he? How many of you could have figured out the atomic bomb? I still don't understand it. Okay? And yet, Einstein didn't trust Christ as Savior. So, it has nothing to do with your being a genius. It has all to do with your heart. So, we see here then that the world's darkened condition as it has to do with spiritual things. It's because of their darkened condition. It's also because the world's depraved nature. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. That's lasciviousness. Most of you would know what that word is, right? It's good King James word, but it means lewdness. Do we see lewdness on television? Whew. Yes. Do we see uncleanness on television? Do we see greediness on television? That's the world. So So these people are past feeling, which means that they're numb. There's numbness of soul. You're not sensitive to God anymore. One of the things that a believer, when you trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have a sensitivity to God. He begins to talk to you. He should. You can ignore Him. The Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You can grieve Him. But you ought to be sensitive to God. His Word is speaking to you. But those that are depraved in their nature are past feeling, numb. And do you know that sense of pain is important in your life? Most of us hate pain. When I was in the hospital, they made a pin cushion out of me. I mean, they just shot after shot and blood taking blood. And it was after a while, I just went like this. It was like I was being crucified. You know, just with an arm, it doesn't make any difference. But every time they did it, it hurt. Pain. I remember as a serviceman, Denver, Colorado, I had another serviceman. We went to the Children's Hospital down in Denver. And some of the children had a condition where they didn't have any feeling in their feet or their hands. And you would think, well, that's not too bad. Do you know all the things that pain does for you? One thing is, these children, if they got a stone in their shoe, they would grind the stone or the pebble right up into their foot because you can't feel it. They get infections very easily. Oh, we need to be sensitive to God. We need to have a pain sensitivity. We should not be numb. Christ said that this pain, really this numbness, comes out of the heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, it says, Christ said, "What comes out of a man defiles a man. For from the within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these things come from within. You see, the Pharisees were worried about washing their hands and worried about food coming into their mouth. Jesus said, you got it all backwards. You ought to be thinking about what's going on in your heart, what comes out of your mouth. You need to be sensitive. Don't be numb. I hope you're not a numb Christian. So we see the world's darkened condition. We see that we must be different. We must walk differently than the world. Number two, we must be different to make a difference. Being different. When you conform to the image of God's Son, you're going to be different from the world. I think this is something that we all struggle with, because nobody likes to be different. Do you like to be different? No, we like to fit in so people won't notice us. They won't point a finger at us. They won't make fun of us. How do we be different? Well, number one, it says we must put off the old man. Put him off. What is the old man? Well, he goes through some things here. We see the the old disposition. Conversation or manner of life. We need to put off that way of we lived before. Put it off. Get rid of it. The Holy Spirit creates a new disposition in us, a new manner of life. We need to get rid of the old manner. You can't have two at the same time. They don't work together. They fight one another. Colossians 3:9 says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Putting off, putting on, according to the new man. A renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We've been created in Christ Jesus, a new man, a new person. New life in Christ, abundant and free. Do you have new life this morning? God says, put off the old disposition. That's part of the old man. Another part of the old man is the old desires. The old desires. Verse 22 says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And that word lust is desire, an evil desire. Of course, men are the only ones that have trouble with lust, right? Right, ladies? How many would agree with that? Ladies don't have trouble with lust, right? Don't you believe it? How many of you have a closet full of shoes? I mean, you've got a shoe for every dress. Or you wished you had one. That is kind of a desire. Okay? So we need to be careful about our desires. It grows corrupt. It doesn't stay the same. The wages of sin. Do you know what the wages of sin is? More sin. Deeper sin. Greater sin. You don't stay static. You're always increasing. Paul says to the Ephesians, put off the old man, the old disposition, the old desires. So the old man can only produce corruption in your life. I remember using this term. My dad used to hate the word old man. Okay? You didn't say my old man around my father. That was anathema. I would be taken to the woodshed because that didn't show respect as far as he was concerned. I think sometimes we need to have that same feeling towards the old man, the old nature that we have. We need to get rid of him. Don't show him respect. Put on the new man. So that our desires, our disposition of has changed. Our desires have changed. Our direction as a Christian, your direction has changed. Do you understand? You once were blind, but now you see. And because you see, you're now on your way to heaven, not to hell. That's a turnaround. That's 180 degrees, isn't it? Instead of going down, you're going up with Jesus someday. So Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, the direction of our lives can be traced to the way we think. The way you think is the way you are. Some have said that you are what you eat. You also are what you think about all the time. As the Holy Spirit gives you new thoughts, you change direction. Can you think back over your life since you've accepted Christ? And think about what you used to desire, the direction you had, you thought was important, and now compare it. I think it's good for us to compare. Sometimes it's so slow, we don't even realize how God has changed us. We need to be thankful for that change. We need to be different. If you're going to make a difference, those around you, if you're going to be a light to a watching world, you've got to be different. So how should we, what should we think about? Well, Philippians 4:8 is a wonderful verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. I hope you're thinking on the good things, the God things that God brings into your life. God will give you direction. What do you think about? Take off the old, put on the new. If we're going to be different, we're going to have to put on a new man. In fact, if you take off the old man and you don't put on the new, then you've kind of have a vacuum. And that's not good either. You need to fill in the new man with the old. After the old man is gone, bring in the new man. The old man is after the Adamic nature. That's where you got the old man. When Adam fell, you fell. He is your federal head. We get the new man, though, after Christ, the second Adam. We are born to get the Adamic nature. We are born again to get the new nature, the new man. Have you trusted Christ? Jesus told Nicodemus what? Ye must be born again. That means you must have the new man. You must have him inside. So we receive Christ's nature when we're born again. Verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. So this new man is a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. Do you understand that? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation, a new creature. Are you a new creature? New creation in Christ? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? That'll make you new. It'll give you a transformed tongue. Verse 24, therefore put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we're members one of another. We belong to the body of Christ. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you belong to the body of Christ. We're members. One part of the body doesn't lie to the other part. We need to have truth. Truth here at church. Truth at home. Truth. Where does truth come from? Well, John chapter 15 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, He will testify me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. When you trust Christ as Savior, truth comes into your life. And so, little white lies begin to bother you. You things that you could say and it didn't affect you, now you begin to say, ooh, that really wasn't true. You get convicted about things, and that's good. You say, I'm going to be truthful with all that I meet, because they're listening and they're watching, and they are going to see if Jesus makes a difference. So a transformed tongue. Put away lying. Put away your temper. A transformed temper. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. None of you get angry, right? Wow. You would think, you know, in a pastor's home that it would all be peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. Now we have trouble with anger. In our home, just as much as everyone else. But God says there's really two types of anger. The anger that's a good anger. You get angry at the things that God gets angry about. Do you hate the things that God hates? If you do, you ought to get a little angry about those. When you hear God's name in vain, it ought to provoke a little anger in you. Now be careful how you let that anger come out. But I think there's times when you can say, you know, that name that you just used, he's my Savior. He died for me. I wish you'd be careful how you speak about him. Yes, be angry. But one thing I do know, that when you have been angry, you need to get it taken care of before you let the sun go down. I think it's most clear in a marriage because you are related very closely. You're living together. Do you know how hard it is to live with someone and not have a very good relationship with them? In fact, you don't have any relationship. You don't even talk because of something you said about them or to them. And you just feel this total being cut off. It's not a good feeling. Especially if you're used to talking a lot. And Mylene and I, she's my right-hand lady. She's the church secretary. If I cut her off, I'm in big trouble as far as the church is concerned, right? I've just cut off about 90% of all the things that are happening at church. I better get back, clued back in. I better confess. I better ask forgiveness. That's what I've learned. And when I don't do that, I give place to the devil. Then the devil begins to work. Do you know that the next morning it's harder to ask forgiveness than it is the night before? The longer you wait, the harder it is. And I've gone a day or two sometimes thinking about how I'm going to do it. And the more you think about how you're going to do it, the less you're going to do it. I've found. You just might as well march in there and get it over with. This is what I did. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? The devil runs when you ask forgiveness. Folks, we need to have a closeness here in the church. What can happen in a marriage can also happen in a church. Very quickly. Because we're a family, aren't we? Do we have family problems? Do the siblings kind of war at times in your house? Our granddaughters, well, it's been peace. Cliff and Andrew are out in Michigan, and there's a whole peace that has kind of settled over our... It's quiet. I don't have to watch to see what they're into. My wife has to watch me, what I'm into, but that's another story. Okay? But yeah, that is what happens in a family will happen in a church. And so we need to ask forgiveness and go to that one. The devil runs when you do that. Well, finally, we must love Christ to be different. Christ is our teacher. We see that in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. You've not learned Christ this way. Christ is not like the world. You are different from the world. And God has taught you to be different. Be different. Number one, we know that we're not talking about religion here. We're talking about relationship. Christ is a person. And so we are taught by him and we love him. Paul was not giving a creed here. He was giving them a relationship with God. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. A right relationship with Christ will give us victory over the mental and spiritual darkness of this world. Jesus will clarify our thoughts, quicken our consciences, and strengthen our resolve. He'll help us to put on the whole armor of God. And I tell you, you need the armor of God today. We spoke about that in Sunday school. Joshua had to fight a lot of battles, didn't he? We have a different type of battle. Battle with Satan. A battle with this world. Christ is the one who is our teacher, will help us. Christ is also our example. Our example in the way we give. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to have more and to build up big bank accounts so that he can give all his inheritance to his children. Is that why we work? No. So you might give to those who have need. We work to help those that aren't as fortunate as we are. That will give you the greatest blessing. So God is, Christ is our example. He gave to us. He's our example in the way we speak. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That means bad language. Right here is the scripture for those that use four-letter words and don't see any problem with that. The world's doing it. Why can't I do it? No, don't let any corrupt communication, bad language come out of your mouth. But those things which are good for edification, the building up of the body, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And lastly, Christ must be our example in the way we love. We need to be kind one to another. As I've said before, I quoted this verse the most in the Christian school. Why do you think that's so? Probably most of you teachers, you quote, well, you don't say this verse, the reference, but you are saying, now be kind, be nice, don't you say that? Why do we be nice? Well, because Christ was good to us. He was tender-hearted. He forgave us. So as Christ has done this in our lives, so we need to do it with others. And I tell you, when you love people like that, and you learn, and they learn to love, and you learn to love, there's a wonderful relationship that's built. And you know something? You'll want to come to church. Because that's where I get loved. Do you get loved at Calvary? Well, you should, right? What does Calvary mean? Where Jesus died, right, for your sin? He loved you so much. So when you think about Calvary Baptist, think about love. Love for one another. Oh, Christ is our teacher. Christ is our example. Are you following that today? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for Lord teaching us, Lord, what we need to do in this life. Put off the old man, the old nature. Put on the new man created in Christ Jesus. We ask that you'd help as we think about this process of growing in Christ, being conformed to his image. And Lord, we'll thank you in his precious name. Amen.